this might be our last shiur of the semester, because tomorrow Rabbi Levin's giving shiur. Maybe if there are guys around and interested, maybe we'll have a shiur or two next week. You let me know what you want. Sanhedrin Daf Lamed, skipping ahead a little bit. There is a two-liner, two-line brisa, that raises a major discussion. The Gemara tells us, if a person was thinking about, this is on the fourth wide line of Lamed Amud Aleph, if a person was thinking about money that his father had left him, and he was mitztayer because he was upset he couldn't find it, he knows that his father left money somewhere and he has no idea where his father hid it, and his father is dead, and the Baal HaChalom comes, the dreamer comes and tells him that it's this and this amount of money, gives him an exact location of where the money is, but informs him, you should know, when you do find this sum of money in this exact location, it happens to be Meister Sheni money, and therefore it must be spent dafkan food in Yerushalayim. Zeha Yemaisa, the Maisa happened exactly like this. Person followed the instructions to look in that location, and he found exactly that amount of money. So he wanted to know, does he have to worry that it's Maisa Sheni money, and Daf could be treated like Maisa Sheni money? Va'amru, and he asked the Shaila, and the Chacham said, Divrei Chalomos Lo Malin V'lo Maridin. Ah, you're going to believe a dream? Come on, you don't have to worry about the fact that it's Maisa Sheni money. Words of dreams are Lo Malin V'lo Maridin. Don't raise up, don't bring down. Shouldn't change your attitude toward anything a single bit. Now, this is obviously a phenomenal chiddush the Gemara is teaching us, because in the context of this story, the dream did know something. It knew exactly how much money it was, and it knew exactly where the money was. Of note is the phrase Baal HaChalom. The Gemara talks about some Baal HaChalom coming. What does that mean? Does that mean that when I have a dream, it's some force called Baal HaChalom that gives me that dream? Or is it that, no, the person who was mitztayer in the money wasn't the one who actually had the dream? His friend came over to him and said, you never believe I had the craziest dream last night. It was about your father leaving money, and it was X amount of money. It was 10 paces to the left and 3 paces, you know, to the north or whatever, and it's in your backyard, and it's hidden, and it's Meister Sheni money. But the person who inherited the money himself was not the one who had the dream. Is that what it means? So the term Baal HaChalom is somewhat vague. But clearly what we do get out of this Gemara is that dreams are meaningless. The dream are not something that should be taken seriously. If you see something in a dream, you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to fear anything. The problem is there's a Gemara directly against this in Maseches Nedarim. By the way, there's a variation of this Gemara in Sanhedrin in the Sheiltos. In the Sheiltos Rav Chaigon, Sheilta Chavtes, Parshas Miketz, he writes that Baal HaChalom and tells him that the money is X amount of money, it's in this location, and Shel Hekdeshem. Says not that it's Meister Sheni money, but that it's Hekdish money. That may make a difference. We'll have to see soon. But there is that alternate version of the same story in the Sheiltos, where it tells him it's Hekdish, not that it's Meister Sheni. The problem is there's another Gemara. The Gemara in Nedarim Daf Chesamid Beis tells us, Misha Niduhu Bechalom, if someone in his dream was put into a Nidui, was put into a form of Cherim, Tzarech Hatara, he needs to undo that Nidui. He needs to get a Hatara to get out of Nidui, meaning the Nidui counts. He had a dream that someone was putting him in Cherim. He's in Cherim, because the Nidui apparently is Chal, even though it was only in a dream. So that Gemara seems to tell us what you see in a dream does matter a lot. So what do we do about this stira between the two Gemaras? Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful piece in Minchas Asher on Bereishis Simin Nun, where he discusses this at length. I'm going to use that as the basis for what we talk about, but I'm going to add in other marmakomos along the way. So Rav Asher points out, In Rav Asher does not point this out, but I'll just mention that the primary source of discussion in the Gemara about dreams is really Sugyas and Maseches Brachos. And the Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Heimad Beis really raises this question itself. Without asking a stira between Nedarim and Sanhedrin, it's a stira in Psukim, because on the one hand the Pasuk tells us Chalomos Shav Yedaberu, that dreams speak nothingness, that they speak meaningless things. And on the other hand, we have a pasuk, "Bachalom adaberbo," that Hashem says, "I speak to people through dreams." So, which is it? Is it chalomos shav yidaberun, that it's nothingness, or is it bachalom adaberbo? How to understand the Gemara's answer to that question may help us understand the stira between Sanhedrin, our Gemara in Sanhedrin, where dreams are worthless, and the Gemara in Nedarim, where dreams are apparently very valuable. So Rav Asher collects three different approaches to answering this stira. I found, in addition to Rav Asher's three approaches, an additional five approaches. So we'll have about eight approaches to answering this question before we move on to the next segment of the shir. First approach is the Tashbetz. The Tashbetz in the Tshuva in Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Chav Ches, was asked the following shayla. Unbelievable maisa. A guy had a dream that if the community, whatever community it was, doesn't fast on a particular day, everyone is going to be menudah l'shamayim. Everyone is going to be in big trouble with the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's going to be a great nidui on the community. And this guy went and told the dream to various people. The story got to the rabbi of that city, whoever the rabbi was, and the rabbi came out with the psak that everyone has to fast. It's going to be a tainis tzibur. They were kovei an extra bracha in the mincha shmona esrei. They were serious about this. So they asked the Tashbetz, the guy do right or not do right? Is that a smart idea? Should he have done that? Should he have taken this person's dream so seriously? Or should he have not taken this person's dream so seriously? So first the Tashbetz says that maybe you could argue that the Gemara in Brachos, when the Gemara asks that stira between Chalomos Shavi Daberu and Bechaloma Daberbo, the Gemara says that the difference is Chalomos Shavi Daberu, that's when it's a shade, when some sort of demon gives you the dream. But Bechaloma Daberbo, that's when it's Al Yedei Malach. So the Tashbi says, what in the world does that mean? It must mean that if sometimes there are a lot of different things that can influence our thought patterns and our dreams. So if what influences your thought patterns is something you ate, or something you did, or something you saw, something that was unusual, that, you know, that caused your mind to, a television show you watched, a movie you saw, an experience you had that day, you know, some type of food, some type of heavy food maybe, that caused your mind and your thought patterns to be a little bit off, that's what we call shade. That's what we call that a shade showed him the dream, and that would be Chalomos Shavi Daberu. Such dreams are worthless, are meaningless. But if what caused your dream is a certain clarity of vision, it wasn't based on a Bilbul Hadas, it was based on a certain clarity, a certain understanding, a certain depth of vision, that comes from a malach. How do you know when you have what? Not so clear. That's what the Tashbetz originally thinks. But then he rejects that, and he ultimately moves on to the, he doesn't really reject, but what he says is, because you don't know which is which, every dream should be treated like a suffix. In every situation, you should treat the dream as if it's a suffix, whether it's viable or not, whether it has any meaning or not. So he says, that explains the two Gemaras. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed, says, you have a dream about money, and the dream says that it's Ma'aseh Sheni money. So what's the halacha when it comes to a suffix about money? We have a rule in halacha about a suffix about money. Hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya. You want to prove that this money doesn't belong to me, I can't keep this money? Prove it. Suffix, I still get to keep it. So the dream is a suffix. Mainly, you still get to keep the money. You don't have to assume it's Ma'aseh Sheni money. But whenever it comes to a suffix iser, suffix nidui, so that suffix iser is going to be l'chumra, suffix daraisa l'chumra, we normally assume. So suffix iser is going to be l'chumra, so the Gemara in Nedarim Daf Ches tells us that nidu b'chalom, now you have to assume l'chumra, you have to assume the worst, because suffix iser l'chumra. That is how the Tashbetz answers the stira. Problem is, there are a couple of kashas that one could ask on this Tashbetz. Number one, Rav Asher Weiss points out, a suffix whether money is Ma'aseh Sheni money or not is not a suffix mamon. Suffix mamon means, does it belong to me or does it belong to you? So whoever's mukhsa gets to keep it. Ma'aseh Sheni is machlokas whether it's mamon gavoa or mamon hedyot. When I have Ma'aseh Sheni money, it's machlokas tanayim, whether it's Hashem's money that I'm just allowed to eat in Yerushalayim, I'm allowed to spend on food and eat in Yerushalayim, or it's my money but I'm restricted by halacha that I have to eat in Yerushalayim. We paskin that Ma'aseh Sheni is mamon hedyot. La halacha, Ma'aseh Sheni, we assume, is mamon hedyot, which means that regardless whether it's Ma'aseh Sheni money or not, it's mine. It's my money either way. The only shaila is, do I have halachos of Ma'aseh Sheni that I need to observe with this money? Which would mean that it's not a suffix mamon. That's a suffix iser. That's not a suffix mamon at all. So if that's the case, Tashbetz wouldn't fit at all. Tashmi is saying the reason why I get to assume in Sanhedrin that it's not Maaser Sheni money is because Saving Mammon, so I get to keep it. That would only work if it's mine or somebody else's. But if it's definitely mine, it's just a question of, do I have to treat it with the Isurim of Maaser Sheni? Well, then it becomes just a Safek Isser, where I should have to go L'chumra. So that doesn't really seem to fit the Gemara in Sanhedrin at all. This is why I mentioned before that the Girsa of the She'iltos is important. Because in the She'iltos, he doesn't have a Girsa that was about Maaser Sheni. It was an issue of whether it was Hegdish. Hegdish doesn't belong to me. Hegdish belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. That's a Safek Mammon. Because if I'm not sure if it's Hegdish or not, I'm not sure if it belongs to me or belongs to somebody else. So that would work better with the Shiltos than it would with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The other problem with this Tashbetz is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin is very clear. It's a Divrei Chalomos, Lo Malin Velo Maridin. Does that sound like a Suffolk to you? Lo Malin Velo Maridin means it's worthless. Dreams shouldn't mean anything to you. Well, it's a 50-50 chance, every dream you have, that it might be something very meaningful and very impactful. So how can you say that lo malin v'lo maridin? The Lashon of the Gemara doesn't sound like Suffolk Lashon. It sounds like Vadai. So that's why the Tashbetz is a little bit difficult to accept. A second approach, Rav Asher Weiss also quotes, from the Tshuvas Shivas Tzion. The Tshuvas Shivas Tzion Simenon Beis, I think that's the son of Nadav Yehuda? I'm not sure. Tshuvas Shivas Tzion. Where he says, a little bit of a variation of the Tashri. He says, it's not a Suffolk. It's not like a 50-50 Suffolk. He says, it's a 99.9% chance that your dream is worthless. And that's Dirvi Chalomos Lomalin Velomarid. 99% chance that your dream has no value whatsoever. There is a tiny, tiny chance that your dream means something. So in most cases, even by a Suffolk Isser, we would go Lukula. Because we'd assume 99% chance is no problem. It's an overwhelming rove that it's not a problem. When does rove not work? When do we not follow a rove? What kinds of shailas do we not follow a rove? Doctor comes and tells you, look, if you do this activity today, there's a 99% chance you won't die from it. There's a 1% chance that you will die from it. You can bet that the halacha tells you, do not do, well, the halacha tells you can't bet, but the halacha tells you that you cannot do the activity that day. Right? The halacha says you cannot do the activity. Suffolk nefashos, even the tiniest suffolk, you have to define tiniest, but even a very small suffolk, a suffolk nefashos, we'd always have to be machmir. Right? We'd always have to suffolk pikuach nefesh. We always have to be choshesh, even for a miyuta de miyuta. What is a nidui in essence? The Gemara in Nedarim said nidu b'chalom. They put you in nidui in a dream. What does nidui mean? Nidui means a curse that a person should die. So a nidui is viewed as a suffolk nefashos. It's a curse that there's a bounty out on your head up in Shemayim. So that you have to be choshish, even though it's only a miyuta to miyuta, tiny tiny chance that it's meaningful. Gemara Sanhedrin, Lomal and Vlomri, it's talk about every other dream. Every dream that's not about nefashos, just about money or iser or anything else. And that would certainly fit a lot better with the Lashon Lomal and Vlomri, and it would also fit with the idea of it being Maaser Sheni money, even though it's not a Safek Mammon, it's Safek Iser. But yeah, 99% is enough to be Mekel on a Safek Iser.
Do you think that's why it says that instead of like boom, is it leaving a little bit of
room? Leaves a little bit of that, could be, right? It could have just said that Kol Divrei Chalomos Hevel. Right, something like that. Or lo klumu. It doesn't say that. It says lo malin v'lo maridin. It shouldn't affect you. Why? It's a hanaga. Don't let it affect you, because 99% of the time, yeah, the lashon does leave a little room. I like that har. That's very good. There are two possible kashas on the Shivas Tzion that Rav Asher raises. Number one, he says, it's still very difficult in the lashon of the Gemara, because the Gemara sounds like it's not a din in Safek, it's a din in the Ikar Adin, that this just it's just the way the halacha is. Meaning, when the Gemara in the Darim, when it says that nidu b'chalom, you need hatarah l'niduyo, because the nidu is meaningful, doesn't make it sound like because there's a 0.1% chance that the nidu is meaningful. It makes it sound like because it is meaningful, that it's much more of a statement that it's meaningful. And furthermore, Rishonim try to figure out, what about a neder b'chalom? And Rishonim, there are some Rishonim that associate, we'll hopefully get to them soon, there's Machlokas, Rashba, and the Ran about this, there's some Rishonim that associate a neder b'chalom to a nidoy b'chalom. They say it's the same din, neder b'chalom and nidoy b'chalom. Now, neder is not a suffix nefashos. A neder is an iser. Nidoy is suffering nefashos. So why would Rishonim assume that a neder b'chalom has the same status as nidoy b'chalom if neder b'chalom has nothing to do with nefashos? So you could argue b'avon nedarim b'na mesim shepetanim. The Gemara Masechet Nedarim tells us that if someone violates a neder, so the punishment is that his children die when they're very young. So maybe you can consider it nefashos on some level, but that's not that, that's an onesh. That's not really pikuach nefesh in the classical sense. So it's a little bit difficult to associate neder with nidoy if the whole vart about nidoy was that it's a pikuach nefesh. Okay, that was the second approach of the Shiva Tzion. Third approach is the one that Rav Asher likes the most, and that is the Chidush Aran. The Chidush Aran here in Masech Sanhedrin, he doesn't write it abundantly clearly, very clearly, but Rav Asher tries to explain it as follows. He says that there are different types of dreams, different types of statements that could be made in dreams. And the two sugyas are talking about two totally different categories. Sometimes a dream is coming to be mevarer something, trying to tell you a metzias, tell you a fact. When a dream tries to tell you facts, we gain our facts from studying the facts on the ground, science, whatever, you know. We don't gain our facts from dreams. And that's what Chazal mean, Divrei Chalom Zalman V'lo Meridin. The Chalom is telling you, oh, this money was designated as Ma'aser Sheni money. You know what? Adam could tell me if it was designated as Ma'aser Sheni money. You know, some sort of written documentation, maybe that will tell me. A video, something. Chalom, that's not going to do it. Chalom doesn't have the right to tell me facts. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Lo malin v'lo meridin. A nidui b'chalom is not talking about being mevarer whether I was in nidui. It's not saying, oh, you should know that you were secretly put in nidui in some beis din somewhere. No, it's not telling me a fact of what happened. It's creating the nidui. The dream itself is giving me, it's creating a chalos of the nidui. And Chazal knew, Beruach Chacham, that there is such a concept of a menuda l'shamayim. And how do you know if you're menuda l'shamayim, if up in Shemayim they were menada you? Through a dream. There is such a din of nidoy b'chalom. It's not that the dream is telling you metzias. The dream is creating chalos, that you're menuda. And that the dream has the ability to do. He says very similar to the concept of tainis chalom. Where Tainus Chalom, someone has a dream, we had a Temin Alachshir about this, he has a dream, and he's very sad and shaken by the dream, so the Alach is he has to fast. Right? And we don't say Divrei Chalom Aslo Malin V'lo Meridin. Why not? So it must be that there is such a concept that a dream could tell you that something is up. Not that it's telling you a particular fact, it's just telling you, it's informing you that there's some problem in your life. And a dream can do that. A dream has the ability to tell you that there's some sort of problem that needs to be dealt with in your life. There is a sort of a third type that he points out, where sometimes the dream will just tell you you did something wrong. And that happens to be a machlokas tanaim, if you have to listen to such a dream. So again, category one is where a dream tells you facts. Everyone says you could ignore that. Category two is where a dream creates a chalos. It tells you that you're benidui. So everyone agrees that that is meaningful. Category three is where the dream tries to tell you that you've been misbehaving, and that something you did was incorrect. That's a machlokas tanaim in two places in Shas. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, tells us that Reb Meir holds in such a situation, Divrei Chalom Aslo Malin V'lo Meridin. Case was Lo Hiniach L'Apotropos Limkor B'Nichsei Yisom. Reb Meir wouldn't allow the Apotropos to sell possessions of the Yisomim. And then in a dream he saw that Ani Laros Vata Livnos. And he saw a dream that told him he had paskined wrong, he had done wrong, and he wasn't choshish for that dream, because divrei chalom aslo malin v'lo meridin. That's Rav Meir's sheet over there. In a Horios, when Rav Meir runs into Rav Shimon Gamliel, and he was mitstave in a chalom to be mefayis from Rav Shimon Gamliel, he also wasn't worried about the dream. But over there, Rabbi Nassan disagrees. Rabbi Nassan was choshish for the dream, and he was mefayis from Rav Shimon Gamliel. So you see, when it comes to a modifying behavior based on a dream, that's a machlokas tanaim. That's a third type of dream. Okay, those are three approaches so far to how to deal with this stira. The Yerushalmi seems to give a different approach. The Yerushalmi and Ma'aser Sheni, Perek Dalet, and Rav Asher doesn't quote these next few approaches I'm going to mention. The Yerushalmi, Ma'aser Sheni, Perek Dalet, Halacha Vav, says it depends. It depends if you were thinking about it that day or not. That if it was something that you were thinking, that the dream was about something that you were thinking about that day, then Divrei Chalom Aslo Malin V'lo Meridin. And that's what the Sugya in Sanhedrin is about. How do you know that's what the Sugya Sanhedrin is about? Because how does the Gemara start? The guy was upset, distressed about trying to find where the money that his father left him was. So obviously it was on his mind. And then Babala Chalom, so the way Yerushalmi must understand Babala Chalom is that he himself had the dream. Bala Chalom means that he just had a dream. It doesn't mean that someone else had the dream and told him. It means that he himself had that dream. And why did he have that dream? Because that's what he was thinking about all day. And probably he knew where it was and how much it was. He just didn't, you know, somewhere deep in the recesses of his subconscious, he knew about it and it just came out in a dream. But the fact that it's Maaseh Sheni, you don't have to listen to it all. Whereas, when it's something you were not thinking about at all that day, who's thinking about during the day that he's being put in a nidui, in a cherim? That came out of left field. Guy has a dream that he was put in a nidui, then you need to worry about it. Because where did that come from? So that's the chiluk that the Yerushalmi makes. It seems that the Rambam rejects this chiluk, because the Rambam, when he talks about the Maaseh Sheni case, doesn't make the chiluk, doesn't start off by saying, Hay mitzta'er. It just says if a person has a dream that there's money that's Maaseh Sheni money and that it's in a given location in a given amount, that he doesn't have to worry about the Maaseh Sheni fact. Why not mention the fact that he was thinking about it all day? Apparently, according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter if he was thinking about it all day or not. Another approach is Ben Yoyada. Ben Yoyada writes over here in Sanhedrin that Ein Chalom B'li Dvarim B'Teilim. There's a rule the Gemara in Bracha says every Chalom has some Dvarim B'Teilim in them. So he says, it's so counterintuitive, but Ben Yehuda says, you read this Gemara in Sanhedrin, what do you see? The amount of money was correct. The location of the money was correct. It's got to be that the Maaseh Sheni is correct. I can't believe the Gemara tells it's not correct. Says the Ben Yehuda, no, it's dafka because everything else was correct. And we have a chazaka that ein chalom b'li dvarim b'teilim. So the only thing left was that it was Maaseh Sheni money. That's the only thing that could be incorrect. Memela, it has to be incorrect. Because there's got to be some Dvarim B'Teilim somewhere in there. So it has to be that the Maaseh Sheni part is incorrect. Nidu B'Chalom, who knows what else you saw or what details there were of the Nidui. And you don't know which details are true, which details aren't true. But the general concept that there's a Nidui, that you do have to be Choshish for, because you don't know what the Dvarim B'Teilim are. That's one approach of the Ben Yoyada. Ben Yoyada also has another approach based on a Medrash Tanchuma. He has a different approach based on a Medrash Tanchuma, where he says as follows. Medrash Tanchuma says as follows in Bereishis Siman Yud Gimel. Maisa b'talmid echad mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva shenemar lo b'chalom ba'adar atameis v'nisan einach roe u'mashe zarata lo tiktzar. Nebuch, guy, you can imagine waking up from such a dream. Guy has a dream. You're going to die in Adar. You will not see Nisan, and that which you plant, you will not harvest. So the Talmud was mitzar harbe about the dream. So he tells his dream to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, let me tell you what it means. Ba'adar atameis means that in shebihidura shel Torah, atameis. You're going to die with the hidur of Torah, meaning you're going to be meimis atzmechal devrei Torah, which is how you're supposed to learn. That doesn't literally mean die. It means that you're going to be so dedicated to Torah, it's a bracha that you're a masmid and you're going to be completely dedicated to Torah. That's Adar, bihidura shel Torah. V'nisan eina taroa, what does that mean? She'ina tabali day, you have to add a letter, nisayon. Not Nisan, Nisayon. That's Nisan is Lashem Nisayon. You're not going to come to any Nisyonos. You're not going to succumb to any Nisyonos. Everything's going to be great. Masha Zarata Inata Kotzer. That which you plant, you're not going to harvest. You know what that means? Shabanecha Shamalta Behem Inata Kover. That the children that you're raising and you're working so hard to raise, you're not going to have to bury your own children. They're going to bury you the way life is supposed to work. They're not going to die during your lifetime. That's what the dream meant. So what do you see from that? Says Ben Yoyada, what you see from that Tanchuma is a lot of times people are shown things in a dream, but they have no idea what they're seeing. They don't have no idea. Their Gemara is like this also in Brach. They have no idea what they're looking at. The Gemara has such an expression that the dreams follow the interpretation, which is a separate discussion that maybe obviously would have major bearing on this, that it may, what the meaning is may depend on how you interpret it. But the Ben Yoyada says, no, Rabbi Akiva knew how to interpret it. And this was the genuine, real interpretation. So he says, now I understand very well why it is that there's a stira between the two Gemaras. You can never assume you know for sure what the dream meant. and therefore it's treated like a suffix, similar to what the Tashbait says, but not because you're not sure if the dream has value. Dream has value, it always has value. You just don't know what the value is, and therefore it's a suffix. Lo malin v'lo meridin means it can't alter your behavior in dine mamonis, because you don't even know if it was about money. You don't even know if it was really about Maaser Sheni, if it was really about that money that you found. You have no idea. It could have been about something else entirely. But for a nidui, you have to be choshesh. Another approach is in the Chidushei Rabbeinu Yohanan son Miluniel, quoted in the Masifta in the back of the Masifta Gemara is on Sanhedrin Daf Lamed. He says chilek is as follows: the guy who himself has the dream has to be choshesh that his dream is real. Other people don't have to believe him though. So how did the Rabbeinu Yohanan son Miluniel read our Gemara? Ba bala chalom v'amarlo means not that the guy who was mitztayer had the dream. No, someone else had a dream. Some other guy had a dream about his money and said, you should know, your father left the money in this location. In my dream, I saw it. So I don't have to listen to what you're telling me you had a dream about. You have to listen to your own dreams. So if you have a dream that you're put in nidui, you better be choshish for that. Because your own dreams, you have to worry about. You just don't have to trust other people's dreams. And the final approach, I don't know if it's an approach, but just a comment, that the Orchos Tzadikim in the Shar HaEmes says dreams are sometimes meaningful and genuine, sometimes not. It depends on how genuine the person is. If you're dealing with a person whose machshavos themselves aren't MS, so the chalomos are a reflection of his machshavos. If his machshavos aren't MS, his chalomos aren't MS. But if you deal with a person who's worked on himself to the point where he's margil atzmo, that kol machshavos of MS, that all of his machshavos are MS, well then kol chalomos of MS as well. Which would mean that the difference between the two Gemaras would have to be one Gemara is talking about a person who is a Baal MS and the other one is not a person who is a Baal MS. Difficulty is, of course, that the Gemara gives no indication that we're talking about two different types of people. It's just talking about dreams in general. Good. This is the basic eight approaches to dealing with the stira between two Gemaras. Now, question? I mean, it's hard to know because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us imaginations. So a lot of times a dream is just our imagination going wild. It's not that Hashem is sending us a message any more than when I think about something, Hashem is sending me a message. Which, you know, we have a bechira to think about whatever we want. So if we're going to, that's what the Gemara says, Lo yahar b'yom shem yavali de tumah b'layla. Why would you be yavali de tumah b'layla if you're mahar b'yom? Because that's the way dreams work. You think about whatever it is, whatever's been on your mind during the day. But yeah, but there is also this hashkafa that when it's an unusual thing and something you haven't been thinking about, then maybe there is some more meaning to it. Now, a whole separate area of halach and dreams is an area of discussion in dreams is whether dreams can determine halacha. Meaning, if let's say you have a dream that the halacha is a certain way, or it can a dream tell you how to behave, how not to behave, what the halacha should be. So there are plenty of examples in Rishonim and Achronim where it seems that dreams played some sort of role in halacha. Rav Asher Weiss collects 9, I can give you one or two more, where a dream apparently had some role to varying degrees in terms of determining a halacha. You have an example from Yaradeya, you have two examples from Choshen Mishpat, you have a couple of examples that he gives from Evin Ezer, an example from Minyan HaMitzvos, an example from Aruch Chaim, right? You have from all over the place, from all over Shas and Shulchan Aruch. So let's start with one. There is a Rush, Masech Savod Zar, in third Perek, Simon Mem Aleph, who quotes a machlokas about a fish called the Barbuta fish, whether the Barbuta fish is a kosher fish or not. And the Rush writes that the Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Rishon, was matir that fish, and the Agos Hashri says that on the day that he was matir, Rabbeinu Ephraim was matir that fish, he had a dream that he was being fed shrutzen, that he was being fed non-kosher food, and he woke up startled, and he said, oh my gosh, obviously that was a sign that I matired a food that's really treif, and therefore I no longer say the Barbuta fish is kosher, Barbuta fish is not kosher. So there's a Rishon, based on a dream, changed his psak. Says the Nidbi Yehuda Madur Tinyani Yardaya Simalamid, that is ridiculous. You're not going to change a psak based on a dream alone. Rabbeinu Ephraim changed his psak because why did he have that dream? It wasn't because Hashem was giving him a simon. No, he had that dream because obviously when he gave the original psak, he had some reservations about it. And he wasn't really sure. And because he wasn't sure, so in his subconscious, he was thinking the whole time, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's not kosher, maybe it's not kosher, and he has a dream, and it shook him up a little bit. So he realized, oh my gosh, you know, I'm really not sure about this, I should really just be machmir. If, let's say, his psak would have, the only psak he gave that day would have been, I don't know, that, take something that's very pashut, that something that's definitely kosher is kosher. I was going to say water, but you know, a couple of years ago, water became not kosher. I was going to say milk. That's also not. So let's take something that's pashut kosher, according to everybody. If that would have been a psak that he gave, then he would have had no sveikas about it, and then he would have had that same dream. So he would have been totally on something else. He would have said the dream must be about something else entirely. He only associated the dream with this psak because he wasn't sure about the psak in the first place. So the Rebbe is thoroughly unconvinced by Rabbeinu Ephraim's dream experience. Second Maror Malkum is a Tshuvas HaRadvaz in Simon Alpayim Reish Pei Vav, Beis Alafim Reish Pei Vav, who discusses a halacha if you're allowed to make tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam into tefillin of Rashi. Can you switch around the parshios to turn Rabbeinu Tam tefillin into Rashi tefillin? And he says, nah, no problem, there's no issue with it, there's no pagam, it's absolutely mutter. Then he writes that at the end of his tshuva that after he paskin that it's mutter, it was niskalo lo b'chalom, that he paskined incorrectly, and that he was going against many gedolim who said that it's aser, and therefore he's choser, he was ma'ayin in the halach a little more, and he was choser from the heter. But if you look carefully at the tshuva, the Radvaz says, not I had the dream and then I changed my mind. I had the dream, I relearned the sugya, and then I changed my mind. The dream inspired him to learn the sugya again and to look into the halacha again. It sounds clearly from the Radvaz that had he not relearned the sugya, the dream alone would never have changed his mind. A third source, Agos Maimonios, in Parakei of Hilchos Chirus. There's a shaila that all the Rishonim deal with. A malamed, let's say a guy you hired to be a Rebbe for your children, is sick part of the time. So what do you have to pay him for? So it's mavur that in Nagos Maimonios that was Niskali b'chalom to Rabbeinu Meir, one of the Balei HaTosfos, that you don't have to pay him his wages if he's sick. And the Shach and Choshe Mishpat Shin Lamed Gimel Sifkat Mechavei says that's ridiculous. Divrei Chalom Aslamal V'Lomaridin. Who cares that some Balei HaTosfos had a dream? That means absolutely nothing to me, says the Shach. Another example where the Shach also takes a Rishon to task for claiming that a dream means something. Mordechai, Maseches Baba Kama, writes that it was Niskala B'chalom to one of the Rishonim that if a Poel is involved in getting food, you could tell him, meaning let's say that's what he works for you. He works in your food factory. He works in a factory that produces food. So instead of paying him his wages, you can say, here, take your wages worth of food, and you don't have to pay him money. And he had such a dream that's the halacha. So the Shach says in Simon Shin Lamed Vav, Sifkat and Beis, ridiculous. What are you talking about? You have a dream that you're allowed to pay your workers with food? A dream doesn't mean anything to me. So again, source after source, some of the places the Rishonim themselves indicate that the dream itself isn't all that meaningful. And another place where the Rishonim indicate that it is meaningful, like in the case of Rabbeinu Ephraim, and like in the Agos Maimonios, and like in the Mordechai, the Achronim come along and say, well, no, the dream itself can't be meaningful, like the Nodeb Yehuda did, and like the Shach does. No, the dream can't be meaningful. In the Minyan HaMitzvos, we also find the Smag in his Hakdama to the Lavin, that he writes that after he finished his entire Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos, he had a dream that he made a mistake, that he forgot to include Yishomer Lecha Pentishka Ches Hashem Elokecha. He forgot to count that as one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So right away, he changed his sefer and he included it. That's not a halacha, though. Is there an afkamina whether something counts as minyan mitzvahs or doesn't count as minyan? Either way, there's a pasuk in the Torah that Yishomer Lecha Pentishka Ches Hashem Elokecha, that you're not allowed to forget Hashem, no matter whether it's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, whether it's, you know, kolol many other mitzvahs. For whatever reason, you want to count it or don't want to count it. L'chora, that there's no nafkamina. So that's not the biggest Maror Malkum. There's a very famous example in the Or Zeruah. The Hakdama of the Or Zeruah, he writes, why did he call the Sefer Or Zeruah? Because he was mesupok how to spell the name Akiva in a get or a ksuba. Should it be Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Aleph or Ayin Kuf Yud Beis Hey? And nafkamina, you know, for get. If you want to have a kosher get, you have to write the name Akiva. How do you spell it? You don't just ask the guy, how do you spell it? A lot of people think when they get married, you know, and they're, my Misara Kiddusha misspelled my name because I've always been spelling my last name this way and he spelled it another way. It doesn't matter how you've been spelling it. A lot of times we spell our own names incorrectly because that's the easiest for us. But there is a correct, halachically correct way to spell things. So the Or Zeruah writes that he had a dream that he saw the pasuk Or Zeruah Latzadik Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha, which he realized is Sofei Tevis Reish Akiva, like Rabbi Akiva, if Akiva spelled with a hey, or that's Reish Zeruah Ayin Latzadik Kuf Uli Yishrei Yud Lev Vez Simcha Hey. So he says, "Ah, I see. You spell Akiva with a hey at the end," and he therefore named his sefer Or Zeruah. Now he writes, not that he saw it in a dream. He says, "Haruni min hashamayim." But when the Taz quotes this Or Zeruah in Eben Ezra, Simon Kuf Chavtes, he writes that the Or Zeruah saw this Gala b'chalom. So at least the Taz understood the Or Zeruah that Haruni min hashamayim means that he saw it in a chalom. Now this is the biggest chiddush of all of them, because apparently based on a dream, he was willing to you know, Pasul Gittin based on a dream. That's a big deal. That's taking dreams very, very seriously. Another example in Eben Ezer, in the Shalos Tshuvos Meshivas Nefesh, he writes by in Takonos Aguna Simulam and Hey, Rav Asher quotes that he was Matir in Aguna based on Simonim that he saw in a dream. That Simonim he saw in a dream that told him that the husband was dead. Crazy, no? Be Matir, a woman who had a husband. Husband must be dead because he saw in a dream. And what was the svara? He says, when it comes to marrying, letting a woman get remarried, Eid Echad is Ne'eman. So if Eid Echad is Ne'eman, a Baal HaChalom is better than an Eid Echad. For Mamun, you need Shnei Eidim. So for Mamun, you're not going to believe a dream. But whenever you don't need Shnei Eidim, Baal HaChalom is better than an Eid Echad. Unbelievable Chiddush. The eighth example Rav Asher quotes is a Tshuvas HaRashba. Tshuvas HaRashba says, in Chelek Aleph Sim Tov Pei Gimel, Avicha Ba'ilecha B'Chalom V'Savalta Sevel Rav Shelo Shamatu B'Kol Ha'Abba. Guy's father comes to him in a dream and says, I'm suffering because you didn't listen to what I told you to do. So even though Divrei Chalom Salman V'Lo Meridin, but since he's suffering, he says he's suffering because you're not listening to him, Mixas Min HaChalom Miskayim, and part of the dream that he told you was true and has been fulfilled, you have to be Choshesh for the dream. So that's a little bit difficult. The Rashba says because part of it has been shown to be true, you have to be chush for the rest of it. What's the kasha? Our Gemara, two-thirds of it was shown to be true. The amount of money, the space, place where the money is, and yet the Gemara says, Dibri Chalomos, Lo Ma'alin V'lo Maritin. So you have to say is that we don't know exactly what type of dream the Rashba was talking about. Was it an issue of Isser? Was it an issue of Mammon? Was it an issue of some type of Inyane Skula Bialma? Or some just Rishus Bialma? So the Rashba writes his tshuva more as a Eitza Tova rather than as a clear cup Sakalach. Sakalach Devich Lomos Lamal Vlomaridin. You want my advice though, says the Rashba? My advice is you should pay a little bit of attention over here. The ninth example and the last example Rav Asher gives is Shulchan Aruch Sim Tafresh Nun Aleph Siftes, where we quoted this last year about Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef writes that in Shulchan Aruch he paskins that when you shake the Dalet Minim, you have to have the Esrog and the other three Minim, the Lulav and Asma Ravos, you're supposed to hold them all closely together. And Beis Yosef says the source for this is Berakanti Shenizgal Lo B'Chalom. What happened was that he had some sort of dream that someone was writing the Shem Hashem, and they wrote Yud on one side of the page, and they wrote the Hey, the Vav, and the Hey on the other side of the page, and they weren't anywhere near each other. And he said, what are you doing? That's not the way you write Shem Hashem. He said, oh, that's our Minog, that's the way we do it. And then he goes to shul the next day and he sees somebody holding his lulav like this and his esrog like this, far apart from each other. He says, what are you doing? You're supposed to hold them together. And the guy says, it's our minug. This is the way we do it. He says, no, I had a dream last night. Now I understand the dream. That the yud and the hey, the vav, and the hey were on the other side. And he said, that's our minug, and that's obviously ridiculous. It's of course supposed to be together. So here too, with the dalaminim, it's supposed to be together. And based on that, we come out with the halacha that you have to hold the dalaminim together. Probably more of a support for the halacha than the actual source of the halacha. There's also a Ravon that changed his psak from being Matir Kleyayin based on a dream. Rav Asher doesn't quote, but okay, there are various sources like this. There is also a sefer called Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim. Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim is a sefer that one of the Balei HaTosos wrote, where he had dreams every night, and he asked halachic shailas in his dreams, and he got answers. He did a she'ilas chalom, he got answers, and then when he woke up, he wrote down the answers. And he published the Sefer Shalos HaTshuvos Min HaShamayim. So the question is, how meaningful is that? How seriously do we take that? So Rav Asher quotes one approach. He says, "Nira barur she'ein zeh doma klal l'kol halacha she'hazkarnu." That's different than everything we've been talking about until now, where a dream paskins halacha. A she'ilas chalom, he says, is different. If you know how to do a she'ilas chalom, then the answers you get in a chalom are meaningful. That for sure is yesh l'tokef. That means something. We were talking about a guy didn't do a she'ilas chalom. He went to sleep. He wasn't sure if a barbuta fish is kosher or not. He had some sort of dream that he thought indicated that it's not kosher. You know, those kinds of things are meaningless. A she'ilas chalom, though, we don't really know how to do it. It is quoted in Shulchan Aruch one place. What is it? On Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, the Gemara says that when all the Sifrei HaTalmud were burnt, they did a she'ilas chalom on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas to find out what to do about it. And the response they got was, "Da gzeiras oraisa," from the she'ilas chalom. And they decided Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, Chukas is a fast day. There's some communities that they had such a minute that they fasted on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas based on that. That was the She'ilas Chalom. So the answer they get from the She'ilas Chalom is something that's going to be binding. Rav Avadia has a tshuva, I forget the exact makom, in Yechav Adas, where he discusses the Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, and he says, Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, there is a rule that Torah is lo b'shamayim, that you don't just say, oh, it comes from Shemayim, so it's got to be real, and therefore it has to be binding. On the other hand, there's no rule that Torah that's from Shemayim is bad. It's just that it's lo b'shamayim. It's that our source of the Torah is not, our source for following Allah is not purely based in Shemayim. So Rav Avadia says, the way you would treat Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShamayim is the way you would treat any other Sefer. If you have a Sefer where you're not sure what the, so you've judged the Svara. There's a machlokas, look at Rav Moshe's Svara, you look at Rav Shlomo Zalman's Svara, and you figure out who has the better Svara. So that's the way you would treat Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, says Rav Avadia. The Artzos HaChayim, the Malbim, in Artzos HaChayim, Simon Tess, writes that he thinks a baskol is better than a she'ilas chalom, and the Gemara Bava Metzion in Tess and Beit says that ein mashkichin baskol because Torah is not min haShemayim. And therefore he says he thinks Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShamayim is a joke, meaning not that it's a joke per se, but that you can't rely on it as something that comes min haShamayim, because even a baskol, which is stronger than Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShamayim, which is stronger than a she'ilas chalom, even a baskol would be meaningless. I'll close with an interesting maramakom, which a lot of people are unaware of. You look for interesting dream makoros in the Hakdama to the second chelek of Taharas Abayis. Taharas Abayis is Rav Avadia Yosef's Sefer on Hilchos Nida. So in the Hakdama to the second chelek of Taharas Abayis, I was reading it once, I couldn't believe this. Rav Avadia says the following story. He says he was struggling with the fact that he spends a lot of time saying shiurim in public and being marbitz Torah and giving musar and drashas. And he also really wanted to work on his svarim. He has these beautiful svarim, Yabia Omer, Yechav Adas. He wanted to work on his svarim, and he wasn't sure he was thinking about going out of the public eye for a while and just working on his svarim alone. So he says, "V'hinei b'chalomi b'layla ha'hu." That day that I was thinking about this, I had a dream. Reisias Hagon Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zatzal Mibavel. The Ben Ish Chai came to me in a dream, and he visited my house, says Rav Avadia, and his face was shining like the Or HaChama, and he goes into my library, my Cheder HaSifriya. If you haven't seen Rav Avadia's apartment, there is no Cheder HaSifriya. The whole apartment is a Cheder HaSifriya. Everything, every room is lined with the svarim from floor to ceiling, and they're all in his brain already. So, and he says, the Ben Ish Chai sits down by the table, and he sees one of my svarim. Rav Avadia says, I don't remember exactly. You don't hear Rav Avadia say that too much. So I don't remember because it was a dream only. So I don't remember exactly which sefer it was. I think it was Yabia Omer, though. And he started looking around in the Yabia Omer, and he says, "Ooh, tov ma'od. Very good, Rav Avadia. Nice job." And he said, "Are you going to continue to darshan and give Musar Barabim and teach Torah Barabim? Because that's a very good idea." So Rav Avadia says, "Look, I do a lot of that, and I do a lot of it with your enikel, Rabbi Yehuda Tzedakah Shlita." He thought he would get in good with the Ben Ish Chai by mentioning one of his grandchildren. And he says, "But it's taking me away from my writing and from my publishing and I'm thinking I have to main on ili mili, that I have to be noteres karmi, I have to take care of my own stuff first." So the Ben Ish Chai said, Don't worry about it. There's going to be plenty of time for both. You have to be mezakeh the rabbim. That's a very important part of being a rabbi. It's not good enough to just publish on your own, and you should be gebench that you should have. I didn't say gebench, svardik. You should be mevarach that you're able to do both very well. Va'ikatz v'hinei chalom, says Rav Avadia, and I woke up and that was my dream. So anyway, that's a more contemporary source of a dream having some sort of impact on a person, but again, more b'derech musar than anything else. Okay.